Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It's Tuesday, August 12th, 2014, here in Clearwater, Florida, and we might have a little rain here. This is here in Clearwater. August is known as Soggy August because this is our big rain month. But you know what it does is it cools things off. It's nature's air conditioning, and it's great. So today we're going to talk about cancer and toxic chemicals and detox and how we can prevent cancer by paying attention to the toxic chemicals that cause cancer. My guest is Dr. Douglas R. Levine, DC, and he's the founding executive director of Life After Cancer Network. It's a nonprofit cancer survivors organization dedicated to the natural restoration of health to people who have had cancer, their families, and caregivers. But they also address people not getting cancer in the first place. And I invited him to be a guest after I received an email promo from him about a new free mobile app that they have to help get people, get and stay healthy and cancer free. And in that promo, he said that he was shocked. He did the hair testing, and then he said that he was shocked to see what my own hair results yielded. Toxic. I reached out to a Life After Cancer Network provider, and he showed me how to detox naturally. So I thought, here's a man after my own heart, that he's looking at the causes of cancer being related to toxic chemical exposure. So, of course, I had to have him on the show. Welcome, Dr. Levine.
Hey.
Hi. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here. Yep.
Oh, I've got you. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. So tell us how you got interested. Obviously, you're a doctor of chiropractic.
Yes.
But how did you get interested specifically in helping people with cancer? And how did you find that? I mean, usually the track is not, let's look at carcinogens and natural health. Usually the track is something like using toxic chemicals in order to try to kill the cancer. So
right.
how did you get into doing what you're doing?
Okay, that's a good question. It started from my own personal experience of having cancer. I'm a cancer survivor.
Mm-hmm.
At the age of 19, I was in college, and I noticed that my body was going through some changes. I started to suffer from night sweats, severe headaches, rapid weight loss. I couldn't sleep at night. It got to the point where I lost about 30 pounds in 2 weeks. I knew something was wrong. And then I realized one day I woke up and I had a baseball-sized growth over my clavicle, which is right near the shoulder. So I went to Columbia Presbyterian. They did some biopsies, and they diagnosed me with having Hodgkin's disease.
Mm-hmm.
So here I am, a 19-year-old with Hodgkin's disease and feeling very confused, shocked. I decided to go through the standard treatment, which was surgery, radiation, and chemotherapy. So what I realized from my experience is that I lost a tremendous amount of weight. My treatment ended, and I didn't know what to do after that, like many survivors back then and even now. So what I did was I started to do some research on my own, started to research things like toxic element exposure, eating healthy, things that I really wasn't aware of. And I eventually got some very good health advice from a local chiropractic physician down the block from me, to the point where I became a chiropractic physician.
Mm-hmm.
And that translated into wanting to help people naturally. I then wrote a best-selling book called Answer to Cancer on cancer survivorship prevention. And as expected, I knew that book would sell a lot of copies because there are people eager out there trying to figure out what they can do to prevent recurrence and prevent cancer altogether. So I basically belong to a club that I never really had an intention of joining. As a result, I have become a member with the 13.7 million cancer survivors that are alive today in the United States.
Well, I actually I think that probably everybody knows somebody with cancer who has either not survived or survived. And I can say that in my own life, my first experience with cancer was with my mother. No, actually my grandmother. Both my grandmothers died of cancer. My mother died of cancer at age 51.
Okay.
My best friend is a cancer survivor. I have another good friend who's just recovering from breast cancer. I knew another woman who was in an organization that I belong to, and she died of breast cancer. It's just like it's all around.
It's epidemic, and the numbers. I do talks all over the country to physicians and to the general public, and when they are brought the statistics that you do not see in magazines, newspapers, or radio, they are amazed to see that 1.6 million people this year got cancer. That's just this year. And by 2020, those numbers are going to jump to 2.2 million people a year. There's not going to be enough cancer centers or oncologists to treat all the people that where this epidemic is continuing to increase. So it's becoming a huge problem. No one's really talking about it. No one's actually trying to deal with issues of prevention, reducing risk factors, all these things that are affecting people's health. So besides practicing, it's actually my cause to help people because the federal government's not getting involved. No one's getting involved. So someone's got to get involved, and that's me.
Well, I'm glad that you're here, and I'm glad you're doing what you're doing, because it's been very clear to me for more than 30 years that there are chemicals, very specific chemicals called carcinogens, that those are the chemicals that are known to cause cancer. And it's, you know, we all know that cigarette smoking causes cancer. That's pretty widely known. But there's also all kinds of carcinogens that are in all kinds of products that we're using every day that we're not even aware of. And so for me, it's really important to know where those toxic chemicals are and to reduce our exposures to them. And I think that by doing, not that that's the 100% solution, but by doing that, it greatly reduces our risk of getting cancer. Just enormously.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. For your listeners, there are different ways you can get cancer, and I'm going to break it down as simply as possible. Cancer is basically a disease where cells lose their intelligence. They go out of control, and they start to embed themselves in normal tissue and literally take over the body. A risk factor is anything that increases a person's chance of getting a disease. Now, risk factors can be what's called modifiable or non-modifiable. A non-modifiable risk factor is something that we cannot change. For example, if as we age and more cells keep dividing, just the mere fact of getting cancer as we get older, that risk factor goes up because we're just getting older. The median age of getting cancer is 66. If you're born a man or a woman, if you're born a woman, you have 100 times greater chance of getting breast cancer than if you are a man. So yes, men do get breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Another non-modifiable risk factor is if you're born Caucasian or if you're African-American. If you're an African-American male, you have a greater risk factor of getting prostate cancer than if you are a Caucasian male. The other side of it is that Caucasian women have a greater chance of getting breast cancer than Asian, African-American, or Hispanic women.
So that has a lot to do with it. I need to interrupt you, though, for a second, because we need to go to the break. And when we come back, we'll talk more about this. And I also want you to tell us specifically about the carcinogenic chemicals that people are being exposed to every day. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. My guest today is Douglas R. Levine, Doctor of Chiropractic and Executive Director of Life After Cancer Network. His website is lifeaftercancernetwork.org. I'm Deborah Lindad, and we'll be right back.
You're listening. Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Doug Osar Levine, D.C., founding executive director of Life After Cancer Network and author of Answer to Cancer. And you can find that book on Amazon. If you go to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com and read the description of this show, you can link right through and get his, what is it, 459 pages?
It's 400. And actually, I had to shave it a little bit because I had a lot to say. It's come out with volume two, I think.
So you were telling us about
modifiable and non-modifiable, right?
Yeah,
modifiable.
Yeah.
So those are the non-modifiable risk factors are things that we can't change. What we do have control over, things that are modifiable. A modifiable risk factor is basically if you're a smoker, you need to stop smoking because it causes cancer. If you are above your normal BMI or body mass index, that is a risk factor for getting cancer or recurrence. And then we have things like environmental pollutants, alcohol, prescription drugs, food additives, contaminants. All those things are risk factors. So those are things that people need to take a closer look at. Understand that being exposed to these things daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, puts you at risk of getting things like breast cancer, colon cancer, leukemia, all these different things. So people need to be aware of this.
You know, I think one of the things that has changed the most in the way I view things and having, I got interested in this subject because I became very sick from toxic chemical exposure, but it was an immune system problem, not cancer. But the thing that I realized is that we tend to think that this is the way life is. You know, that, you know, what you see on TV and how we all live, that's the normal life. And then it's normal to get cancer. People get cancer and people get heart disease. And this is the way it is. But it isn't that way.
It isn't that way.
It isn't that way. It's not normal. It's not,
it
normal,
not normal
that you should go through life. And then when you're 55 or 65 or whatever, then you're going to get sick and you're going to go in a rest home and you're going to have a big hospital bill and that's what your life is going to be like because your body just, you know, wears out or something. It really is the way we live.
Right.
And there's so many things that we can do. And that's what this show is about, really, is to identify those things that cause harm to us and to have more information about the things that are good things that we can do too. But it's just the first thing I think is just changing your mind about being able to see that there's another way to live. And it's not normal, quote unquote, that we're going to all end up getting cancer just because it's like, I think that there's all these statistics that say, this is the way it is. And then people go, well, yeah, that's the way it is. Instead of thinking outside the box and saying we could create something different.
Right. It's not sticking with conformity. It's being a nonconformist. And to me, a nonconformist can be conformity in a way because it's getting people back to basics. It's getting people to eat healthy, think healthy, and do healthy things. As we instruct people through our network, and I instruct people even in my own office, the body has rules and the body has laws that govern it. And the body is self-healing. The body is self-regulating. However, if you start to break those laws and if you start to expose the body to things that are not good for it, it's going to revolt and you're going to get sick.
Mm-hmm.
So it's making a conscious choice about what you think every day, what you read every day, what you eat every day, and what you want to expose to your body is going to ensure that you stay healthy for the long term. I always tell people, I don't mind getting older. I just want to have a good quality of life. And there are, you know, people don't realize that men have a 1 in 2 risk of getting cancer in their lifetime. Women, 1 in 3, and that number is getting closer to 1 in 2. 1 in 6 women, 1 in 6 men get prostate cancer. 1 in 8 of women get breast cancer. I mean, these numbers are staggering. And these numbers are going to continue to rise. Unless people start to become educated about the healthy things that it can do in their life.
So what? Tell us about some of the things. We only have a couple minutes before we need to go to break. But tell us about some of the things that you changed in your life to not be exposed to carcinogenic chemicals.
Eating, number one. is food. Basically, if people have a chance to eat produce from local farmers, I encourage it because they haven't been adulterated with pesticides. I encourage people to eat organic. That's another thing that I've done immediately. So people need to be aware of the benefits of eating organic. And yes, it's a little bit more money. That's true. But we're talking about putting food in our body, and that's the gasoline that runs our machine. So eating is the number one thing that people can start with. There are other things. Basically, one of the best detoxifiers in the world is exercise. Sweating is by far, and moving your body is something that benefits the body. So these things, again, help ensure to keep the body healthy. After break, I'm sure we'll talk about things like home products, household products. People just take for granted, they contain substances rather that are cancer causing. So people need to be aware of that as well. Yeah,
we'll talk about that when we come back. But I want to tell you, there's a book you may be familiar with called Tox In, Tox Out. It's a new book. It's by the authors of Slow Death by Rubber Duck. And he was on, one of the authors was on the show. And the whole premise of the book, Tox In, Tox Out, was to test out all the different detox methods. And he said the number one thing to do to detox is exercise and sweat.
Number one.
And that's the number one thing that they found was most effective.
Yep.
So they're in agreement with you. And I'm in agreement with you about the about not eating pesticides, about organic, because I've seen a number of studies that show that if you just stop eating food that has pesticides on it, within several days, a lot of those pesticides will just clear out of your body. That it's not even something, you don't even need to do anything to detox. Your body will just clear those pesticides.
The body is self-healing. The body is self-regulating.
Yes. Yes, it is. It is. It is. We just need to not defy it.
Right.
So we're going to, yes. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is Douglas R. Levine, Doctor of Chiropractic, Founding Executive Director of Life After Cancer Network, and author of Answer to Cancer. His website is lifeaftercancernetwork.org, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. My guest today is Douglas R. Levine, Doctor of Chiropractic. He's also the founding executive director of Life After Cancer Network and author of Answer to Cancer. So, Dr. Levine, you were going to tell us about carcinogens in household products.
Carcinogens in household products. There are many, and probably too numerous to mention on this show.
Give us some specific examples, though.
Specific examples, let's see.
Ethylene-based
glycol, which is used as a cleaning agent. There's other things like compounds called terpenes, which are found in like lemon, pine, orange oils. Those are carcinogenic compounds. People know if they go swimming in a pool and they get water in their mouth, they spit it out because there's chlorine in it. So these are things that are just not good for the body.
Yes. Well, let's talk more specifically about heavy metals, because that was what you mentioned in your promo piece. And so let's talk about a little bit about how your network helps people identify these things. So one of the things that you offer is hair testing, and that is specific for heavy metals to find out. And heavy metals, most of them cause cancer, right?
There are many that have been associated with cancer and or other health-related problems that people would not put the two together. Basically, hair is how hair analysis works. Is that hair is basically considered an excretory organ. That means that you have hair on your body. That hair follicle is in touch with your bloodstream. So we have blood circulating through our body. And hair will accumulate things like the normal minerals in our body, but it will attach itself or heavy metals will attach itself to hair. So hair can be used as a diagnostic tool for metals that have no physiological benefit to the body. These things are things like lead, cadmium, arsenic, mercury, and nickel, and the list goes on. So what people do is they take a sample of their hair, usually from the head, about maybe a teaspoon worth, and they send it to a lab. And the lab actually breaks down your hair to see if you've had any heavy metal exposure. And from these metals, we try to encourage people different ways to kind of get the lead out, so to speak, so they can restore the normal physiology in the body. So it's used as a testing tool. I do it in my office, but there's other practitioners throughout the country that do it. Just doesn't have to be through the network. But we have people all over the country that do it to try to educate people about toxic element exposure and how it can affect their health.
You know, when you were talking about this, I've known about hair testing for many, many years. In fact, I think I've had my hair tested more than once. But for the first time when I was listening to you talk about this, I was thinking about, well, if hair is a, what was it you called it? It was
an excretory organ.
Excretory organ.
Right. So it's basically, it's like a suitcase for things that are going through the bloodstream.
I'm going to write that down. Hair as an excretory organ. Because, I've done a lot of research on how the body detoxes. And so, you know, you think of the skin as an organ that detoxes and the intestines and all these things. But I'd never thought of the hair as an excretory organ before.
Yep.
And so I was just imagining, you know, you have these heavy metals in your body. And so then it goes out in your hair. But we think about hair as being beautiful. Are you having a good hair day?
And right.
I was just thinking about all the things that people do to try to control their toxic hair and how much more beautiful hair would be if it wasn't full of heavy metals.
That's correct. No, it's
wow. And, you know, I've had people on the show and I've talked to people that talk about detoxing your hair, but they talk about detoxing your hair from the modern toxic hair products and getting those out of your hair, but I've never
It's got to be done from the inside out.
Yeah.
So the reason why there are these toxic metals in your hair is because it's in your bloodstream. And if it's in your bloodstream, it's another tissue of the body. It's not just in your hair. So people never equate that if they have a high level of cadmium in their body and they get it from whatever exposure, from the air, from touching things, from food, wherever it comes from, it will increase a woman's risk of getting breast cancer. So I'm trying to connect the dots for people that sometimes it's not the blood test that they see and these things are high or low, that something has to be causing these things to be high or low. So people will go to their regular medical physician, and if this number is low, then we're going to give you something to make it high. But it's important to understand the whys of why people have these things going on in their body, and a lot of it has to do with toxicity and them not even realizing that they've had toxic element exposure. So they'll just go on and treat the symptom but not really deal with the cause.
That is, I mean, what you just said is probably in a nutshell, exactly what most of medicine is about, is to treat symptoms. And I just had, actually this week, I had a realization about that just in my own, like, I'm much healthier than I've ever been in my life right now, but that doesn't mean I'm perfectly healthy because, you know, I had many years of toxic exposure and damage to my body and things. And, you know, particularly about diet, I just want to say, and I'm about to write this, but I'm going to say it today. You know, people, they wonder what they should eat, and they want to go on specific diets, and they read about a diet and say, oh, I should go on that diet. And especially if it's a diet that's supposed to help something, you know, like you could go on the thyroid diet, for example,
right.
And that's supposed to help
sure.
your thyroid. But the thing is that a lot of times people will go on a diet because they have a specific set of symptoms and they're trying to alleviate their symptoms. And they say, if I don't eat gluten or I don't eat tomatoes or whatever, I won't have these symptoms. But that only just alleviating the symptoms, whether it's from a food or a drug or whatever, is only alleviating symptoms. It's not addressing the underlying problem. And I finally reached this point in my life where I'm really getting down to healing the things that have been damaged by toxic chemicals. We'll talk more about that when we come back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Dr. Douglas Levine. He's the executive director of Life After Cancer Network. LifeAfterCancerNetwork.org. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. And if you were just listening to that commercial about water filters, today actually is the last day of a special offer where they're $20 off. You can go to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com, look for the faucet, and click through and find out more about that. That's the water filter that I use in my home. And I'm sure that Dr. Levine can tell you that there are many carcinogenic pollutants in water.
Absolutely. And everybody should have a filtration system just like the one you're describing, because safety first and prevention first. So there's nothing wrong with taking that extra step to protect yourself from what's going on in the environment today.
Right, right. So tell us more about, I wanted to finish what I was saying about getting down to this level of really, I call it my body restoration project, because it's not about just trying to feel good. It's about identifying what parts of my body have been damaged by toxic chemical exposure or poor nutrition or whatever that is, but to actually recognize that damage has been done. And what do I need to do in order to restore? And that's a totally different question. Like the other day, we've done several shows about, there's a new book out called Missing Microbes, where I had the author of that book on, where we were talking about how antimicrobials and antibiotics are destroying the flora and fauna in our guts. And he was saying we've lost like 30%. And there's information now about things that you can do to restore those natural microbes that we need to have for our bodies to function. And when I started learning that, I thought, well, now when I'm eating, am I feeding my microorganisms, you know?
Depends on what you're eating.
Yeah. Am I, every time you take a glass of water with chlorine in it or chloramines, you're killing your microorganisms. It's that simple. That's what those things are in there for. In the water, those toxic chemicals are there to kill, is to kill
them.
And you drink that, and it's going to kill what's in your gut. And then we wonder why we have to take Tums and things like that.
And you're treating the symptom, not the cause.
Right.
Right.
So, so I'm really looking at restoration as being if you're looking at restoration, it's like I figured out there's actually three steps. This is just a new thing for me this week. Is the first thing you need to do is you need to stop bombarding your body with toxic chemicals. The second step is, once you've reduced that exposure, then you need to remove the toxic chemicals that your body has already accumulated. And then you need to start the restoration project. Because if you don't do those first two steps, it's like trying to fill a bathtub full of water with the drain open. You're just not going to get it.
It's the same way with cancer treatment, and if you have any survivors listening out there, or any friends or family members or anybody, this is the problem today with cancer, is that somebody goes through traditional treatment. They have radiation, chemotherapy, they've had surgery, they've been battered, they're exhausted from their treatment. Their treatment finally ends. And now what do these people do?
Yeah. So what do they do? How do you help them?
They contact our network, because that's why the network was created, to help renew and rebuild their bodies, because nobody in traditional medical care is doing that right now. Oncologists don't do that. I'm appreciative about what they do, but they're not helping people restore. And it's the practitioners in our network that help people. I help people. We have massage therapists that help people. We have acupuncturists that help people, and that's why we're here. We have nutritionists that help people. They need a place to go, so I created that place. And it's the same thing what you're saying. Hey, I've been exposed to this. I understand the damage that's been done. What can I do to help myself? And that's what you're trying to do. And, you know, I appreciate that. And more people have to know more about what you do and about your book and support health rather than disease.
Well, so this is why I wanted to have you on the show, because I know that you started making this network for cancer survivors. But I think that in a sense that there's a lot of us who are survivors of toxic chemical exposure, regardless of what the damage has been done. And I learned a long time ago that the thing that I needed to do to heal my body was the same thing that I needed to do to keep my body healthy in the first place. It's the same set of things. It's don't be exposed to toxic chemicals. It's get good nutrition. It's get enough rest. You know, the whole list of things. It's a well-known list of things. And if people would just start doing that list, then they wouldn't get cancer. They wouldn't get heart disease. They wouldn't get whatever illness they're concerned about, whatever illnesses in their family. They wouldn't get it because the environmental factors have been removed, that you just do the things that create health and you'll create health. And so I think that your network is applicable to everyone, whether they're a cancer survivor or not.
And that's why we have the app, which is called Cancer Network. It's a free app for any survivors, caregivers, friends, family members, where they can have direct contact right with all our network providers, and it's free for them. And
so tell us more about your app and your network. Tell us, like, what will people find when they go there?
Well, people are going to, if you are a survivor, friend, or family member, you can register right on our website, and you can print out a survivorship plan. Basically, it's a series of questions that you answer basically yes or no, and you're going to get a printout of where you are and where you need to go to begin your journey back to finding your new normal again. We are the only organization that offers a survivorship plan. There's no organization in the country that does what we do. So we are really the first to offer some type of basics to get to restore people's health and get them back to basics. If people want more in-depth information, they can contact any of our network providers. They're here to help, and they will guide people in every area of health, whether it's nutrition, chiropractic, osteopathy, acupuncture. The problem I have with natural health care providers and people that help cancer survivors is that it's very fragmented in the United States. There's somebody who does it in Missouri. There's somebody who does it in New York or Florida. And people are thumbing through the Yellow Pages, or they're going online. They're trying to find somebody. The network was designed to bring all these puzzle pieces together in one place so that people can go to one entity, find somebody they feel comfortable with, and move forward from there.
So basically, these are the folks that even if somebody didn't have cancer and wanted to prevent cancer and improve whatever their health issue is right now, these are the kinds of people who, when you go to them and you say, detox, or toxic chemicals, or carcinogen, they'll know what you're talking about.
Absolutely. And there's somebody here to help you.
Yeah, because I know that it's sometimes difficult to find those people, and you go to a lot of doctors or even alternative practitioners, and they don't understand these specific issues. So that's, I think it's great what you've done, because it's so difficult to find these people. And
it's time. I didn't have it 30 years ago.
Yeah.
I was looking for somebody. I went to somebody down the block. And, you know, I didn't have it. And I said, you know something? One of my goals as I was writing the book was to create an organization like this for people, because I didn't want people to go through exactly what I went through, not finding somebody, not dealing with anybody credible, and not having research-based information that will help move them in the right direction.
Yes, that's why I do what I do, because when I became very sick from toxic chemicals more than 30 years ago, there were no resources at all. There were no books like mine. There were no websites to go to. There were no organizations like yours. And I just had to, it was like a fluke that I even got the idea that toxic chemicals were making me sick. And it was, I just, you know, had to drag myself out of bed and go to medical libraries and start researching. What's these chemicals and what kind of symptoms? Oh, I'm having that symptom. And then I stopped using that product. I stopped using, you know, chlorine in the water and perfume and these things. And my symptoms went away. But there were no resources at the time, none whatsoever. But we have so many resources now. We have so many resources today. We have so many non-toxic products. We have so many practitioners who understand this, that it's really, this is a time that everybody should be learning to take care of their bodies in a toxic-free way and support our health. And we don't, I think that we could greatly, greatly, greatly reduce the amount of cancer in the world and still have our grandmothers and our mothers and our loved ones around us instead of having them not be here because of cancer.
It is a disease of lifestyle and the environment.
Yes,
and people need to recognize that it is a preventable disease, and it's just understanding what needs to be done and actually doing it.
Well, thank you so much. Excuse me. Thank you so much for being here. I'm going to take a look at your network. And again, you can go to lifeaftercancernetwork.org. And can they get your app on the website?
Or if they go to the app site, they'll see two icons, one for Android and one for the iPhone. You just press it and it brings you right to the store to get it. And again, it's free for all the survivors, caregivers, friends, family members. That's why it's there.
And the survivorship plan, you just go to lifeaftercancernetwork.org and you'll
see
that too. I'm going to take a look at that because I think that that's a great idea about, like, how are you going to survive the rest of your life?
Right. That's why we're here. Because that's a question I had 30 years ago and there was nobody to help me. So
how am I going to be healthy for the rest of my life?
Yep, people are worried about fear recurrence. I'm going
to look and see what you've got there.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and be well.